Live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
O'clock hour, Cofield and Company, Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Justin Watkins is here. We're just getting into some college football, UNLV playoffs. We absolutely in the middle of the hour have to get into the bizarro shooting incident a couple weeks ago on the Las Vegas Strip, so we'll get into that. Justin, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. Finishing up, I'm on hour 70 of a 72-hour fast, so right at the end. Can't wait to eat.
What's your first meal?
Well, it's supposed to be something clean and healthy, but I've done these before. This is my fourth time I've done it this year. And the kids are wanting pizza and wings and mozzarella sticks. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm in.
No fighting it.
Do you think you'll crush like a ton of that stuff?
No.
Or would you just, you'll have like a couple bites and be full?
Yeah. Maybe two slices and a wing.
A wing.
Okay.
We'll see. Or I could just crush, like, you know, six or eight wings and give up on the pizza.
That's good.
You know, I don't know.
Good.
But it'll be around all night, you know, because then, like, an hour later, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm ready.
Let's go.
Grazing a little bit?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. We seldom interject our fantasy football league that we're in into the show.
Half the playoffs are here.
The playoffs are set. Six teams get in. Amazingly, Justin and me have buys.
Yes.
Adam is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think this is the first year that I've been in it that all three of us have been in the playoffs.
Probably.
Pretty impressive feat for everybody to be in.
Yeah. It's
half the playoffs are right here.
Yes. That's, you know.
How did it happen?
Adam always has a good draft. I always feel like at the end of the draft, I look at Adam's like, oh, dang, I wish I had that. But I didn't love my draft. But typically when I don't like my draft, I do better. Yeah. And this was that situation. I waited on quarterbacks. I did spend money on Caleb Williams, who I subsequently dropped. But I did get Tua free off the waiver wire. So that exchange worked out well for me. And I went oppo this year. I took running backs. Expensive running backs. But then I did save money for some decent receivers. I got Jamar Chase and Nico Collins at less than premium rate.
Yeah.
And so that's how I'm in. Yeah, I think you got a tough matchup, Adam. You're first. Yeah. He's got a team, man.
I know he does. I was looking. It's not good. I have a lot of playoff matches this week. I keep bouncing around thinking like, oh yeah, who's in this one? It's gonna be intense. You said, how did we get here? Like, I know going into the draft, if you remember, I had two players that I said I'm definitely getting no matter what. One worked out, one didn't.
Kyler Murray was one of them, right?
No, well, it was actually Jaden Daniels.
Oh, okay.
And then I also got Kyler Murray. Got both of them cheap, but Jaden Daniels has been great, yes, obviously. And then I really wanted Devin Singletary, which I probably should have backed away from because other people wanted him too, and he went for way more than he should have.
This is an auction league.
Yeah, it's an auction league. And so I should have just backed off, but I said I really, really want him because most leagues I was getting him in like the 13th round.
Yep.
Starting running back, I'll take it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, why is he going for more than most starting running backs in the league? This is annoying, but I wanted him. Mostly because I had like a little bit where I had two guys written on a piece of paper and wanted to show everybody I was definitely getting those guys. So it was a mistake, but the rest of my team's decent. It's far from my best team for sure, but we'll see if we can fight it out. But you're right, I have a really tough matchup this week.
Yeah, I think I'm pulling for you. I don't want to play him.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
This league, is it unique that pickup stop at the beginning of the playoffs?
Yeah. I love that. So, but
it's,
yes,
it's a good
it
part
is
of
unique.
The strategy. Like, you better be paying attention. I think pickups are tonight.
Yep.
You guys should be like, no, it's Friday. you got plenty of time.
Just, you know, it's there's waivers tonight, but you can pick up all the way till Sunday. But then they're frozen after that.
And only pickups for playoff teams, and then you're locked. Yep. I love it. I think it's good.
I got to the end of the road one year where I was the dominant team. I'm not a dominant team. I had the best record, but I'm not a dominant team. And I was riding Todd Gurley, and then his season just ended. like at the most inopportune time. Like, I'm done.
I mean, I'm definitely putting that into the strategy tonight on who I'm picking up. I'm not picking up the most sought after players. I'm picking up for my depth so that if something goes wrong, you know, I should be okay.
I have three quarterbacks for the playoffs. None of them are good.
No, they're not. But you have Baker Mayfield's good, dude.
But you were pointing out they're on good matchups.
Man, I have a
rules violation.
No, I have a battle going on right now in another league where the commissioner, who you know, I won't sell him out, has quit the league. So this is it. It's like 12-year league.
Not putting in starters.
No. No, he has said the league is dead now because of this argument that's been going on for 2 weeks.
Why would it be dead?
So
we'll move on without him.
So
I'll join the league.
That's what he said. He's not going to be the commissioner anymore.
Then you're
out. He doesn't like that people were running this by him. So I'm going to run it by you guys, especially Justin, who loves the rules of fantasy too. My team's in first place, very, very loaded team. Jared Goff was my quarterback. I was like, yeah, you know what? Baker Mayfield has a pretty good schedule down the stretch.
He's got a great schedule for the last two games.
This is 3 weeks ago. I was like, you know what? I'm looking ahead. I want to trade for Baker Mayfield. The person who had him, he was their backup quarterback. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to trade for him. But he's not in the playoffs at the moment. He has to win his last two games to get in. So he's not in. So I was like, you know what? First place team against a team fighting to get in the playoffs, you have to overpay, obviously, because it's not fair to just whatever. So I said, I sent him, and remember, he was healthy at the time, Jared Goff and Taysom Hill.
Okay.
For Baker Mayfield. I think I overpaid dramatically.
Dynasty
or keeper?
No.
I'm saying it keeps going or it's just
– No, it's just out for this year.
Ooh, that makes it interesting.
But he didn't have a tight end, so I'm giving him a tight end to try to compete those last 2 weeks. And by the way, his opponent the next game was me. So I'm giving him a tight end to try to beat his next opponent, me. And people lost it, said it wasn't fair.
The moment or weeks later?
No, in the moment.
Okay, yeah, I don't think that's even value.
In the moment they lost it, and what they did to me, because they don't like that I've won so many times, the team that was in last place sent Christian McCaffrey to the second place team for nothing.
Ew.
To get back at me. Now, Christian McCaffrey then got hurt, so did Taysom Hill
worked
in the
out.
End, which is fine.
Yeah.
But to me, like, I understand saying no trades if you're out of the playoffs, but if you still are fighting to get in, I think that was a fair enough trade at the time.
Yeah, as a commissioner, fair enough.
Yes.
I mean, I think you got the better end of the deal, but fair enough. Yes. I would make that trade in your spot. I think most people would make that trade in your spot.
By the way, Jared Goff has been better than Baker Mayfield.
No question. Yeah, but those last two games for Baker Mayfield, hopefully. This was what I was telling Cofield. I'm like, perfect week for you to get a bye because your last 2 weeks with Mayfield look good. I think it's Giants and Carolina for the last 2 weeks of the playoffs, and that's the only 2 weeks you have to play. So, but no, not so one-sided that there needs to be any retribution. No, I agree.
No, and then, but funny enough that they tried to pull the McCaffrey thing and then he got hurt
last week. Yeah.
Well, but yes, that is the issue. And people were so angry about this trade that the commissioners now said, I'm out. I don't like this.
I like that. I like that kind of pettiness.
Yeah. I mean, if the McCaffrey trade happens first, then I'm in on like, hey,
sure.
There's some collusion here that we can't have this, but your trade, I don't think it rises to that level.
Thank you.
All right, we need some legal stuff first. We've got situations with, obviously, we're waiting on what's going to happen with the PAC, whatever it is, and their exit fees to the Mountain West Conference. We've got Grand Canyon, who agreed to be in the WCC and pay. Now they're reneging on the deal. Now the WCC is like, what the hell? So what's going to happen here? How do you resolve this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tricky situation because the Grand Canyon bought their way into the WCC with a $16 million entry fee. And then as part of signing on, they also agreed to an exit fee. They've paid neither of those because they didn't actually play a game in the West Coast Conference. So they've just walked. I don't think that they could possibly think that they don't have to pay anything. They're going to pay something. But I think it's unlikely that you get both an entrance and an exit fee for a team that's never played. Now, I mean, there's an argument that they should because the West Coast Conference, you know, I'm sure prepared schedules and did everything assuming they were going to be a party. So there is some damage that results from that. But I think they're gonna have a tough argument because in the same swoop, you know, Grand Canyon doesn't play football. And the West Coast Conference just added Oregon State and Washington State for 2 years for all non-football. Not all, many of the non-football sports. So I guess if you're Grand Canyon, you point to the fact that, like, hey, you benefited from this conference movement, and that conference movement that you did specifically generated our opportunity to go over here before we ever entered. And so, you know, I think, as I've always said, exit fees are potentially and likely considered unenforceable penalty clauses unless it's tied to an actual TV revenue deal. And I don't believe this one was. And that's why you see the big conferences. Their exits will be a multiple of the TV deal, and the exit fees expire at the end of the TV deal. That's where I think the Mountain West is really in trouble with their exit fees against the ones who are leaving and for their poaching fees against Oregon State, Washington State, because they don't have a TV deal. So how can you say that this is calculable and not a penalty? It's just, you're just punishing somebody. So, yeah, they're going to go through some process here. Maybe they'll file lawsuits, or maybe they're already at the negotiating table. West Coast Conference is going to get something, but they're not going to get both. They're not going to get the full entry and exit fee.
Adam just ran by this statement past Caleb Herring about enthusiasm for UNLV football totally gone right now. It's going to take a real home run to get it back. Do you agree?
I think there is a lot of reason to worry. If they don't nail this next head coach, I think, you know, the name coming out of Florida right now was Mullen.
Yeah, Dan Mullen.
I think that would be a great hire. It would be right in the vein of Odom, a former P4 coach that had some level of success. But then, you know, I actually think Mullen had more success than Odom did. And if he's interested in the job and he takes the job, I think there's reason to maintain some enthusiasm. But I think for those, you know, 3 days following Odom's departure, I think there was a whole bunch of UNLV people saying, now what? You know, like, we shunned the Pac-12 because we thought we had these opportunities. And if we go back to mediocrity in, I know there's online chatter back and forth, but an inferior conference football wise, with no real chance at a Big 12 invite, which was, I think, what they were holding in their back pocket. And if all this money we've been promised doesn't actually materialize because of lawsuits, then we're in deep doo-doo. Now, a lot of those things may actually happen. They may get all that money. They may get, you know, Mullen in there or another good coach who can, like, kind of pick up where Odom left off, in which case, I think that they, you know, everybody takes a step back when you lose your coach. It's very hard to take a step forward. But I think they have some opportunities here to be enthusiastic.
All right. We'll follow up on some of the names that are on the coaching list. Also get into the latest mock draft to come out on ESPN.com, which, of course, targets the Raiders for one Shedeur Sanders. I wonder what that means for Deion Sanders. Willie was throwing out some crazy theories yesterday. So that's coming up on Cofield and Company.
I'm here.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
The Christmas tree, have a happy holiday.
I'm here.
Everyone's dancing merrily in a new old-fashioned way.
I'm here.
Griffin, do you get it now?
I think I get it.
Yeah. Now we play the Kermit Mahomes bite all the time. And I said Luke Bryan in country music and Leanne Rimes also have those same kind of voices. I'm here.
Yeah, Luke Bryan for
rocking
sure.
Rocking around.
I can't even hear it otherwise for Luke Bryan. That's
like
all
no
I
other
hear.
Voice. You just hear Kermit and Patrick Mahomes. Nothing to be mad at. Nothing. You know, someone brings out a Kermit puppet to training camp. He's an Air Force guy. Calm down, Chiefs fans.
I'm not going to stand for the Leanne Rimes slander.
Lovely woman, but she still sounds like Kermit at times. She has that back of the throat kind of cavernous
very thing. Nice. Very nice person.
Is she?
Yeah.
You met her?
I did.
Oh, many connections. Yeah. Let's go back to your Arkansas connection.
No.
Way back in the day?
Randomly at the Billboard Music Awards.
Why were you there? Were you a seat filler?
I know people. I know people.
You know people. Sure. Okay. Justin Watkins is here, Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Call him in Northern Nevada at 766-1400. Dial 775. You can use the same number to call him down here. Not the 775, though. So, covers all of Nevada. All right. I screwed up the mock draft tease, but the latest mock draft from ESPN.com has both the Giants and the Raiders getting a quarterback.
Yeah, in the 1 and 2 spot.
Okay. Who gets who?
They say the Giants will take Shadur, number 1 overall, and that the Raiders will take Cam Ward 2nd. And then, interestingly, they have the Patriots in the 3rd spot taking Travis Hunter.
Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that those are the two best players in the draft, but we know how quarterbacks go. And so, that, you know, if those two teams finish 1 and 2 for the worst record, they will probably select quarterbacks. And I think that's probably the order that they would go in. Now, the complicating factor, the one that I think Raiders fans are counting on, when you tell them the Raiders want to lose because they want to have the first pick to control their destiny in the draft, they say Shadur is going to force his way to Las Vegas no matter what. That's what they're counting on.
Based on conversations from July?
Yeah, they're counting on Eli Manning, you know, using your power type thing to go, or John Elway type thing to go right where you want to go. That's what they're counting on. So that's what they believe is going to happen. They still believe the Shadur tweet thing, which he has tweeted now on times that the Raiders were off. So I don't understand where that's coming from. You know, for those that didn't follow it, like Shadur on Sundays would tweet, you know, thank you, God. And people were saying that he was doing it when the Raiders lost. And it was just, hey, they're moving up in the draft order.
Really?
And then there was a week off.
He did it.
A bye week, and he did it again. Yeah. So I was like, well, I guess this is over, but it wasn't. He was saying, people said, oh, other teams lost that helped the Raiders. That's why he did it.
Raider Nation.
I don't know.
I mean, who do you think is better fit for the Raiders, Cam Ward or Shadur?
I don't. Well, first of all, this is not the year to have the number 1 pick. It's not the year to need a quarterback. Right? You want to be in there. I do like Cam Ward for a lot of different things. I think Shadur has been more consistent. Cam Ward, like when Miami needs a play, he makes a play.
Yeah,
it's pretty remarkable that he does it over and over again. But again, I don't think he's a finished product. I don't think he's a polished quarterback. I don't think he's right now. I don't think he's the guy you want to take number 1. And I don't think Shadur is there yet either. Now, the Raiders do need a quarterback. Like, there's no question. So they're in a tough spot. This is why we knew this class was going to be the way it was. So that's why everybody said last year is the year they needed to lose games, be in the mix for a quarterback. They weren't. I still think they probably would have taken Michael Penix. He didn't fall to them. So now they're kind of left saying, okay, well, this is the best of what they're going to do. And don't forget about the Tom Brady connection. Like, Shadur Sanders is the first athlete Tom Brady signed to an NIL deal for his brand. They do have a very close connection. Tom Brady obviously is going to have a huge role in choosing the quarterback. So there's a lot of factors pointing in the direction of Shadur to Las Vegas.
Well, and if the Giants and Raiders lose out, do the Giants get that number 1 pick?
Because it depends how all the other teams, right? Fall too.
Because it's your opponent's winning percentage that is the tiebreaker.
Right.
So, I guess.
Raiders have some very winnable games coming up. They've got Jacksonville at home next week.
I know. But, you know, Aiden O'Connell's got a bruised knee, right? You keep him on the sideline, you know, don't want to.
Which is, to me, one of the most fascinating things of Aiden O'Connell definitely wants to play.
Yeah.
One of the reasons he wants to play is to win a game so that they can't take a quarterback.
Right.
So, like, he's forced his way into having the job. Like, that's kind of what he wants to do right now. So
sure.
Then you can't let him.
You can't let him.
Like, it's just a wild scenario. That's why tanking is such a funny thing. It's also why when people talk about tanking, it's not about the players not playing their best, but organization making decisions to put their team in a position to not win.
What happens if, like, let's say Sam Darnold's available?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you go like a Sam Darnold, Travis Hunter?
Well, I would go, hey, Minnesota, you're re-signing him? How much for J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah. I mean, what if they franchise him, though? Then
I mean, there's a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces for
but
sure.
But they have to do something, and that should open opportunity for one of those two quarterbacks, right? And I would think J.J. McCarthy is better than Shador or Cam Ward.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would probably trade the number two pick or number three pick, whatever it is, for J.J. McCarthy. Now, I don't know that Minnesota will do that.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they probably won't. And they're going to be able to have a really cheap future backup quarterback with Sam Darnold as a starter if that's what they want to do next year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of the in a similar situation where the Falcons are right now.
I mean, it's interesting because if you're Kevin O'Donnell, do you think you can make any quarterback work?
Yeah, I think the they have Daniel Jones, too.
Yeah. I don't know if they can make him work.
They've got a lot of options.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I mean, if you're cheering for what's best for the Raiders, I think, unbiased because I'm not a Raiders fan, if I think not taking a quarterback in the draft is the way to rebuild. I mean, they got offensive line issues. You know, I don't even know if Travis Hunter is the best pick, but that would be a better pick. If you're trying to build into a winner, but obviously you can't win in this league without a quarterback. That's pretty well known. So they'd have to find an answer out there somewhere.
My bias is for fun.
Yeah.
And I think Shador's fun.
Oh yeah. Shador would be fun.
There's a lot around Shador too. I think it'd be fun.
So do you think there's any possibility of a push of Shador and Dion? Coach?
Well, if that's the case, then I'd be out on Shador.
You want fun?
That's true.
Fun. I mean, you want newsworthy. That's it, right? It's Shador and Dion come to the Raiders.
Sure. I don't think the same things work. And I've argued also that it didn't work in college. They had success by dropping in conference to a bad league. And 100%. Then didn't even play the best teams in that league. And all of a sudden, we're like, look how much better we got. No, you didn't.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
Adam Hill, Justin Watkins, Cofield, Battleborn Injury Lawyers on a Wednesday. So we haven't seen much follow-up on the story of the two drivers, you know, threatening each other with guns and one gets shot in the neck and dies. That was on the strip, Spring Mountain, LV Boulevard. Interesting notes in this because immediately people are like, oh, self-defense. But there's some things with her behavior that are a little alarming.
Yeah, I mean, she had a prior arrest for threatening somebody in a road rage incident with a gun, another woman and her kids. Ultimately, they ended up in like a shopping parking lot, a grocery store parking lot. And she says, according to the police, that she did not point the gun at the lady, but she definitely went and got it and brandished it and was arrested for that. We'll find out because this isn't just a criminal action. There's going to be civil lawsuits. I imagine I know for a fact that one party has retained counsel because I know who the counsel is and they're good quality counsel. But I imagine they'll both get civil counsel to sue each other for this situation. And then we'll find out each story, you know, just because you use a firearm doesn't mean you're wrong. If it was truly in self-defense and you believe that your life was at risk, if you were being threatened with deadly force, you have a right to defend yourself with deadly force. So
what if you're Charles Bronson-esque and it's Death Wish and you're almost setting someone up or Bernie Getz?
Yeah. I mean, if you bring out the gun first, and that person brings out the gun and then you say self-defense, boom, shoot him. That's not self-defense. You can't be the initial aggressor and claim self-defense.
I don't know what happened, but when you hear about her background, her willingness to do that, then you're like, wait, was she a victim here? Or
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Right. We just don't know enough of the facts. All that stuff will come out. We will know all this information. There'll be body cam footage from the police. There'll obviously be witness statements.
Lots of cameras in the area. Yep. There were two people in the Uber driver's car, so I'm sure they had good proximity to give a good view of the story.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'll have counsel too, for sure. So, I think we'll get enough information to get a good idea of at least each party's story of what happened.
So what happens if the victim's family is suing the shooter? Mm-hmm. The passengers in the victim's car would sue the shooter or the victim?
I think Uber.
Well, it depends on.
We got about 40 seconds.
They maybe go to Uber if there is some history of this driver for a reason to think that, he shouldn't have been driving or qualified to drive.
Adam, is that a one star?
No, I'd still give five. Probably yeah. Probably, well, I wouldn't tip those. Are gone.
But yeah, the passengers probably sue both drivers and Uber, and then let them hash out who's really at fault.
Pretty crazy.
I thought the guy had no family. I thought that was the whole thing about it.
What?
The guy that died.
Yeah, but you have an heir. You don't have to have kids to have an heir. Your parents, your siblings. I mean, there is an heir somewhere.
All right, coming up, the crazy story with this Luigi guy caught at a McDonald's.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Justin Watkins in, Nine Sports Gambling coming up, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill. So we get to the look ahead lines to the potential matchups in the quarterfinals of the CFP. I think that's pretty interesting to get into. Adam Hill is here. On this show, we really haven't talked about the healthcare CEO murder. They got the guy, they think, in a McDonald's. Luigi?
Oh, yeah.
We got Luigi.
Most popular man on the internet.
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of hot takes, a lot of vicious takes. Maybe we were already here as a country, and now it's just coming to the surface. But, man, a lot of vicious takes about how the guy Brian Thompson deserved it. I think at a minimum, if people didn't understand the issues with United Healthcare and other giants of healthcare, there's been some issues for a while. Like, people are very fed up and frustrated. It doesn't mean a guy had to die because of it, but a lot of people think, hey, it's fine. So,
yeah
you deal in this. You deal in this world.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have no love for insurance companies, health insurance or casualty insurance. I do think that specifically in the healthcare industry, that health insurance companies have taken over care to limit care to what's best for the bottom line and not what's best for the patient. I think that's happening. Healthcare companies are buying out pharmacies. They're buying out doctor's practices. They're, buying out radiology so that they can dictate exactly what gets approved and what doesn't, what's part of the plan, what isn't, irrespective of what's best for the patient. But I am nowhere near to what this online world is doing and saying, like, this is deserved, has it come in, sort of canonizing this guy Luigi as a hero. I am not on board with any of that. I'm not there.
Not even the anger at McDonald's for being snitches.
That was the latest one.
Yeah. No, I'm not. A murderer should be caught. A murderer should be punished. And
boy, I think people are kind of deciding when vigilantism is okay and when it's not, because obviously this is in alignment or congruence from a time standpoint with the dude who choked out the homeless guy on the subway. And there's people who think he's a hero, and he took full advantage of his interview spot yesterday. And I mean, it's basically taking the law into your own hands. When is it right? When is it not?
It's not right. I mean, we do have situations in which citizens are allowed to make citizens arrests and put them through the judicial system. But going out and killing people there's never an okay for that. You get to defend yourself, but this is nowhere close to any sort of self-defense. I get it that it is an interesting story. I mean, this kid goes from valedictorian and Ivy Leaguer to potentially, allegedly, a cold-blooded killer. I saw some of the national press sort of digging into his social history and sort of documenting the change in his perspective and sort of his extreme takes. So I get why the nation is interested in this story and what it brings, but I'm not willing to breathe oxygen into the fire that is this person's a hero and we need to protect him and he's done something, beneficial to the nation.
Yeah, I think you're right. You can't endorse or approve of murder. Now, in the end, it's not, you got to separate what the, what it actually is here. It's not a good thing that this happened, but if there is changes made of companies saying, hey, we should probably be more ethical, that's a good result from a terrible situation.
That's not going to happen.
I'm just,
it won't happen.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah, it will not happen. No way. The only changes you're going to see is a bunch of CEOs are going to hire really expensive private security.
And then raise your rates to, yep, to pay for it.
Yep.
Good. Well, good news is public servants in Ohio are really hard at work at laying down another felony. We'll talk about the Ohio State Michigan ending aftermath and the planting of a flag.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
And every time it rains, and it's from heaven.
Shoo-be-doo-be.
Don't you know each cloud contains.
All right, so let's get to some of the look ahead lines in the CFP.
You'll find your
fortune, which you're going to find out. Similar to what I said yesterday, I think the field is wide open. I think brands are winning out in the numbers, and schools like Boise, Arizona State especially, are getting dissed.
Yep.
And I don't get it. So we'll get to that in a minute. Public servant, performative action here, just looking for a spotlight. Ohio, there's a local politician who's asking for felony charges if anyone ever plants a flag on the field at the horseshoe in the future.
Yeah, this is dumb. I mean, first off,
please don't mention this person's name. Actually, yeah, you probably should, no, but the people in Ohio will still vote for him, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's dumb. First off, it's not constitutional. It suppresses free speech on a public place, at a public university. It would never pass constitutional muster. It's not going to pass anyway. Their session's almost over, so it's not going to pass. It's purely performative, and the representative who brought the bill, tried to say, anything that incites violence, has no place in our institutions. So he's trying to go with like these are fighting words, mm-hmm, sort of situation. They're not.
Don't have to react to this by getting violent.
And we have tons of examples of this happening in other places, and it didn't incite violence. So, it's Ohio State's overreaction or bad reaction to it. Again, it's free speech at a public university. There's no way this would ever pass constitutional muster. It's silly. It's performative. It's attention seeking. And it got attention. It got attention, a lot of it.
Congratulations, doofus.
Yeah, exactly. But it has no, like,
representative moron.
Yeah, it has no future. There's no likelihood of passage. There's no likelihood of enforcement.
As somebody who was a public servant, I mean, you've seen people do things like this.
Oh, yeah.
What do other people in the legislative body think?
Like,
what
are you doing? They're like, whatever. Like, they don't give it any time, right? Like,
are you allowed to just shout them down?
You just the bill will never get a hearing. There will be no shouting. The bill will not be heard.
A performative bill?
Have I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I did. I presented a bill when I was in session. They were going to be nominating the next Supreme Court justice. It was Gorsuch, and I put forward a bill that asked for our United States senators to not vote for anybody who was pro-life, because the will of the Nevada voters had been pro-choice as on the ballot in 1992. And now subsequently, again, they did it again this year to put it into the Constitution. And I basically said, if the senators support somebody who is pro-life, then they're going against the will of their voters.
That's true.
It's true, but it has no teeth. There's no real enforcement. It was just,
I voted for it.
Everybody did. I mean, we passed it, but it's just a declaration.
So it's not performative.
It's just a declaration.
I think performative is if it just has no chance to even get a vote. You're like, I'm just going to put this out there to get.
But it didn't mean anything, right? Like it didn't. Gorsuch obviously got through.
It means something to me.
Yeah. Well, good.
Our senators didn't vote for him, right?
If memory serves me right, I think we had Dean Heller was still in. Well, he did. I think he did, but I might be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure Dean Heller was still in.
Okay, this college football playoff bracket. You can see the complaints already are all about brands, right? Of course, Georgia should be, you know, a high seed. Even Clemson, right? Maybe Clemson should get more respect. We know Clemson. Boise, SMU, Arizona State, everyone hates where they are. They're uncomfortable with it. I think Arizona State is going to make the Final Four.
Me too. I actually think.
I don't see, like, I get the theory of the five seeds in a good position, but they're basing the theory on Texas getting to play Clemson and then Arizona State. I think they can lose both games.
Right. I like the Arizona. Arizona State's catching 4 points too, which I like.
Well,
but Clemson.
Yeah.
12.5 to Texas if they play.
Right.
Next round, but, yeah, 12.5 Texas right. as a favorite.
What? But I'm just talking about like first round money line is the play I like. Boise State catching 4.5 against SMU. Like, I like that as a money line.
That's hypothetical too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know that we're going to get that.
That's true.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I think if these, you know, the lines that are posted right now for the matchups that could happen, like Texas would be 12.5 over Arizona State. I think, that, I mean, you can actually bet it right now, even if we don't know that it's a game.
Penn State 12 over Boise.
I don't like that either. I mean, the reality of that game would be that Penn State plays traditional Big Ten football. That's how they've played all year long. They haven't seen an offense that has the level of misdirection outside of Oregon. So I think Boise State could score with them. Now, can Boise State's defense stop Penn State's offense? I don't know the answer to that, but 12.5, big number. I like Boise State on that.
I don't really get in a year where it's been balanced. Who cares about the brands now in the playoffs? We've got all these games. We've got a body of work with most teams of 12 or 13 games. I think they've shown enough that the country is pretty balanced.
Well, and you can, for the Penn State or Boise State argument, you have a common opponent. You have Oregon. And Penn State got them at home and lost convincingly. And Boise State had to play them on the road and outplayed them. I mean, should have won that game, but lost by 3. So, I mean, if you just look at some common opponent. Now, Boise State has not played great down the stretch, although I thought they played a really good game against UNLV. I thought UNLV had some real advantages going into that game that I thought it was going to be a little bit closer. And I thought Boise State really won that game convincingly. I know it was 21-7, but like they controlled that game.
Are we giving SMU no chance against Penn State? Because I do want to remind everyone, like you said, the Big Ten plays rough and tumble football.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of quarterbacks emerged who were better than we thought. The league is still a crap quarterback league and a crap passing league.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And I don't know that they faced a lot of Kevin Jennings this year.
I'm not super high on SMU. I'm just not. Do they have a chance? Sure, because they got Jennings and a mobile quarterback who's going to run for 100 yards and can get them out of sticky situations, avoid sacks. You know, take away the real strength of Penn State, which is that D line. Yeah, I think do they have a chance? Yeah, but I can't get over the SMU Nevada game to start the year. And then their strength of schedule after that. I'm just not as high on them as clearly the betting odds are. I mean, they think SMU, if they were to survive Penn State, is better than Boise State. And I don't see that.
It's funny you said it. That's the game that's been throwing me off too, because I know exactly what I was doing. I was at a bar here doing a fantasy football draft during the SMU Reno game. And I just remember thinking SMU is they were like a 27-point favorite.
Yep.
They were terrible in that game.
They were getting smoked in that game. It wasn't awful. Even like close.
16-0 fourth quarter.
And that game has just stuck in my head the whole time.
Me too.
Little pushback, though. It was Preston Stone at quarterback. Jennings hadn't taken over.
That's true. And it was their first game of the season.
On the road.
So
look ahead game.
Yep. Exactly. So,
I'd like to judge the full body work, but also a little later in the season. All right. I know I'm a broken record on this about, and there's a lot of this is about the new pack, whatever, and the Mountain West teams that left, who keep looking over their shoulder, and they're like, UNLV, bad move. Like, it's done. Okay. The comparative thing between the two conferences, we don't have any details. Stop. And the other part of this is neither conference is going to exist as it is now in about 7 years. I am 100% on board because of the cryptic words, or not even cryptic, of Sankey and the fact that Bama got, they think, screwed out of this. We are going to have that Big 40, and then we're going to have that level two.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these schools, the only being in a different conference may help them, you know, in terms of monies, and the whole competition for the Mountain West and the Pac-12 is to be whatever it is, the next 50, to make sure they're in there.
Oh, I mean, I agree with you. Let's call it, we'll say the next 60. I think the bottom.
I've been doing 40 and 60, so yeah. We'll get aggressive and say 60.
Okay. I think that there's schools in the Mountain West Conference that will not be in that next tier.
Absolutely.
And there's, but every school in the Pac-12 will be in that tier.
Ooh, right. Sac State?
Sac State's not going to the Pac-12. Mm. If they were going to the Pac-12, they would already happen. Like, it would already, Sac State was willing to pay to get in.
Where are they getting?
Are you judging the new Mountain West? Of course, there's going to be teams left at the cutting, you know, on the cutting room floor.
Right. Yeah.
But that's I also believe the Big 12, the majority of the Big 12 is not going to make that Big 40. There's only going to be a select number of teams that make it.
I agree.
Do you believe that the SEC and Big Ten, if there is a Big 40 schools, like that's the highest division, are they going to bring everyone along or are they going to go, sorry? Like, is that one of the reasons Purdue's like, you know, $40 million for Odom, please. We have to stay relevant. We got to get to the middle of the Big Ten to stay in this thing.
100%. But I don't actually think, I don't know that the Big Ten or SEC would drop any of theirs because I don't know that you can make that move without keeping everybody on board. But I don't think it what are they at? 18 and 6. So they got to add 6 teams, 4 or 6 teams. I just don't think those are coming from the Big 12. The Big 12 is crap at football. I think the ACC's got teams that are attractive to the Big Ten and SEC if they're trying to make 40 work. You know, you got FSU, you got Clemson, you got UNC. I think maybe Virginia Tech. I take Virginia Tech over any of the Big 12 schools.
Kansas, kind of leaving out Notre Dame too.
And Notre Dame,
Kansas,
right?
Kansas, Arizona?
No, no.
They're going to leave out Kansas.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course. Yes.
Yeah. What's for that? North Carolina?
Yes.
Three win Bill Belichick for the next 3 years?
Dude, I mean, it's about what you're willing to invest into that. Right. And North Carolina's got the money to invest. They're going to,
Kansas.
Nah.
They're doing a full build out of their stadium
for a half empty stadium half the time. I mean,
that's valid, except they have been bad forever. So,
yeah, well, exactly. So, why
hard,
would they
hard to know if they're going to be able to fill their whatever it is, 40 or 50,000?
I don't think I can't look at any team in the Big 12 and say they're in the top five of the mix of any expansion that's needed to get to 40. Like, I don't see it.
Bottom line is right now putting yourself in the best position, however you think that is possible. That's the goal.
Agreed.
These conferences are not going to exist. It'll be like a middle 50 or 60, and you better make it, or I don't know what the third level is going to be.
Right. But there's also interest in being that one of those five that gets into the college football playoff conference champions. And I think depending on what the Pac-12 does for their next invite or next two invites or three or four, they clearly will separate themselves from the AAC, especially if they take Tulane and Memphis, then the AAC is really in a tough spot and separate themselves from the Mountain West. I really don't understand the UC Davis ad. I don't get it. I don't even know what that's about.
I don't either. I haven't had a chance to look into it. What I won't do is just slam it without getting the information. So we'll try to. We never have Lori Navarro on the commissioner, but I think she'd be interested in coming on to Vegas and explaining this one. Justin, we're up against it. We appreciate it. Happy eating tonight after the fast is done.
That's right.
I admire you. No fast on this side of the table.